KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM present Candidate Forum, your chance to hear from and talk to candidates running for Emporia City Commission and USD 253 school board positions. Candidate Forum is brought to you by Justice Painting, serving the area's painting, epoxy floor coating, and concrete polishing needs. By Ray Roofing Incorporated, call 342-7576 and let their roofing experts go to work for you. By Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area. Contact Geotech for all of your land surveying needs. And ESB Financial, ESB's notify alerts, real-time alerts for online and mobile banking. Call 342-3454 or visit esbfinancial.com to learn more. And now, today's Candidate Forum.
Good morning. Welcome to USD 253 Candidate Forum on KVUE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. Here today, I'm your host, Chuck Samples, as we get set for the general election November 7th. This is the first of our two candidate forums that we'll be having on our airwaves here between now and that general election November 7th. We can remind you here that advance voting has started by mail, and then advance voting in person at the Lyon County Clerk's Office will begin on Monday. And you also have that off-site election opportunity as well, your voting opportunity on the 28th at the Fairgrounds Anderson Building. Our candidates in studio here today are Jeremy Dorsey, Grant Ryle, and Leslie Seeley joining us here today. Jeremy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you in. Grant, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks for letting us be here.
Glad to do it. Glad to do it. And Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us. How about you, Chuck?
So far, so good.
Great.
Well, we're really glad to have you guys in. We really appreciate your time here during the busy workday schedule that all three of you have here. And for folks that are tuning in for your very first candidate forum, the format is basically what we've established a number of years ago, so it's pretty easy. We'll have an opening and closing statement, opening obviously at the start, closing at the finish. We have a number of questions here at KVUE News that we've compiled based off of the issues that we see that are pertinent. And here at about, say, 10:30 to 10:35, we will open it up for questions, and you can call 620-342-5863. If it's easier, you can text the same number, 620-342-5863, and get your questions at least on in front of us. And again, we'll do our best to get those answered here for you this morning. Before we get started, don't forget that Tuesday, 10:06, we'll have Linda Forbes, Christy Grant, Art Gutierrez, and Sam Tovar as our guests, and that will wrap up our candidate forums. All of our programs that we either have had for the City Commission last week and the ones here both today and then also next week for the USD 253 candidate forums will be in the KVUE.com audio vault. For those of you looking for the one today, don't be surprised if that winds up hitting the audio vault tomorrow, but just basically because we have a staff scattered across town for the KVUE Drive for Food as we speak, and we're very glad for folks that are participating in that. Having gotten all of the housekeeping processes and procedures out of the way, well, let's go ahead and get started. And basically just by host pick here, we're going to have Leslie start us with our opening statement, then Grant, and then Jeremy will be answering after that. So our opening question is really more of an opening statement. What's prompting you to run for election, or in all three of our cases here, re-election? And Leslie, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. So I love being a board member. It's been challenging. I've had quite a few people ask me, I can't believe that you're running again. Are you sure? And yes, the last 4 years have been challenging, but I can't remember the Dr. Seuss quote off the top of my head for the Lorax, but I can't remember what JFK said. And if not me, who, right? So I love being part of the board. I love the chance to help children in our community and teachers and do everything I can. We're always in the middle of something, and it's really hard to just walk away from that. So I'd like to be able to stay for four more years. And I mentioned in our last forum, it's no wonder Grant continues to run year after year. And Art, you know, this is his third term that he'd like to run for. You're always in the middle of something, and you don't want to give that up. You want to see it through. You want to be part of it. You want to make things better. I was talking to you earlier and you told me about your kids being at Walnut this year. Yep. And I was a Walnut kid. My kids were Walnut kids. And that's really where my love for Emporia Public Schools started. I got to be involved with the PTO there, moved, you know, when the kids moved to the middle school, we did a lot of things out there, booster clubs. And I just love being a part of making our schools better places for everyone. So I hope to do that for four more years. And that's why I'm running.
Okay, good deal. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Grant, what's prompting you to run for re-election?
Well, as Leslie's mentioned, the last few years have been challenging, but I've had a lifelong interest in education, as I've shared with others. When I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be a teacher, and unlike today's economy, people going into that field were there's a lot of them. The jobs were more minimal to hard to get into. That has changed a whole lot. But I've always had a lifelong interest. With the past years that I have been on the Board of Education, they have been exciting. We've achieved a lot. There's always more to achieve. And like Leslie says, you're always in the middle of something. So I would like the privilege to continue to serve. And I think education is one of those gifts that you can give to young people that opens up so many doors. And if it's not available to them, it can impact their life from there on out for a long time. So I think it's very important. I think it's our obligation to our children and our community to give them the best education possible. And I think as a Board of Education, we strive to do that all the time.
Okay, Grant, thank you. Jeremy, what's prompting you to run for re-election?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. You know, I think first about why I ran for election the first time. I had landed in Emporia after I graduated law school in the summer of 2015. I had gotten a job, kind of got to that point where I had met someone, and it kind of became apparent that, okay, this is probably where I'm going to end up living the most of my adult life. And I wanted to be engaged and involved in my community. And I wanted to do that on a local level, because that really is where the most change happens. That's why I was interested when I thought about running for something. I ran for school board. I had looked at other options, and then I thought the idea of running for anything that was partisan just sounded absolutely nauseating, and you couldn't have paid me enough, and that had no interest in that type of shenanigans. I wanted to do actual meaningful work that would help the people in the community I live in. You know, my first job out of law school, I started as a legal aid attorney at Kansas Legal Services, and I did family, criminal, juvenile law, misdemeanors, felonies. I was the drug court defense attorney, and I did for about the 6.5 years I was there. I also was guardian ad litem, the attorney for children in state custody, and sometimes I was the attorney for the parents who were trying to get their kids out of state custody. And through that role and all of the case management and the social workers involved really showed me how school was this great lifeline for every child, no matter who they are or where they come from. Public education is quite literally the great equalizer, because no matter who you are or where you come from, if you take advantage of it, you can work, you can lift yourself to somewhere better. And I saw that with a lot of the kids and families I was dealing with, how important school was to them. And so that made me think, okay, this is where a lot of meaningful, positive change happens. So that's why I wanted to get engaged. As Leslie and Grant have said, you know, there has been some, I don't know if I would use the word exciting, but some tumultuous times on our school board. You know, Leslie and I, we're both elected on the same term right before COVID hit and right before certain things happened with staff at the school. And so it really was being thrown into the deep end. So we've definitely I turned my phone on airplane, but that apparently didn't stop that notification.
That's all right.
But we've definitely learned some crisis management skills that I don't think we've had before. And that has given at least me the ability to feel weathered and even more ready for a second term and the type of issues that might arise. But it's also given us the opportunity, I think, to be able to see the type of positive change. You know, every meeting we go to, we're seeing what our teachers do. We're hearing that presentation. We're seeing the way that they are changing lives. And I want to be there to support our staff to ensure the academic success of every student we have and that they're completely set up when they leave our education system, whether it's entering the workforce, the military, tech college, traditional college, whatever. I want them to be completely ready for success. And I feel like we've made gains and improvement in that area. We've had setbacks, but I want to be there to make sure we get to the top.
Okay. Jeremy, I'm going to shift the order just a little bit here for this next question, because Jeremy started mentioning about work experience. And the next question on our list happens to be, what work-life experience serves you well in your run for office? And Jeremy, I wanted to maybe have you at least give you a chance to expand on some of the work-life experience that you feel has set you up well to be a school board member?
Well, like I talked about before, I've dealt with a lot of families and children in the system and seen firsthand how important school is for them and how much of an element that was to their success in ways that was more than just academic, right? You know, their family life, where they're going to go after they're done with school, and the type of person they're going to grow up to be. Family law was a great experience, but since my time at KLS, I now work for the state of Kansas, the Kansas Department for Aging and Disability Services, as a staff attorney there. And so I've had a bit of a different experience. But in terms of other volunteer opportunities, I am the president of the Southwick House, which was formerly Plum Place, and we're trying to restore services for women in need and children, women with children in need. And I'm also the chair of the Recreation Commission, which I'm appointed to through my spot on the USD 253 school board. And so I also see how some of our community partners, like the Rec Commission, provide really valuable resources for our students, not just SummerScape or, Rec Extra or whatever program it's called, Boys and Girls Club, to watch kids over the summer, but providing them the opportunities to, build character, play sports, and achieve and grow and work as a team. You know, some of those soft experiences that help to really make a well-rounded adult. So my volunteerism has kind of put me in all corners of Emporia, but it's always been centered around really families and children, and giving them a good experience and the tools they need to be successful. And so that has prepared me, I think, for this office, even more so now, because I've been able to do more of that during my first term. I'm not just 4 years on the school board, but also with all these other activities. And so when you start the school board, it really is like being thrown into the deep end. You don't really know who all these administrators are and who all these people are, but by the time you're done, you actually have a grounding in how all the pieces link together. And so that preparation, I think, puts me in a position to be able to create more positive change for a second term.
Okay. Leslie, I'm going to go to you next. What's your work-life experience that serves you well, not only as a current school board member, but also in your run for re-election?
Sure. I've always loved volunteering. I was a Girl Scout volunteer for about 7 years. I did that through Walnut School, and when my daughter was a sixth grader at EMS, I was a leader for all grade levels, so I got to see all the girls at Walnut, and I just absolutely loved my time there. Really got to see and understand better how important it is for kids to participate in things like that. And then not every kid has the same opportunities, and they don't have the same income levels. And so, we always made sure that girls got to participate whether or not they could pay the dues or not. I never wanted anyone to be excluded. I think just knowing what kids went through really, I understood that better after being with Girl Scouts. I did actually get to teach Spanish when I was in college at Butcher Children's School. I thought I wanted to be a teacher, just like Grant. I wanted to teach foreign language to little kids, and there's not a lot of opportunity for that in Kansas. So I knew at the time that I was not cut out for middle schoolers and high schoolers. I did not have the thick skin. I was not prepared for that. So I did not end up becoming a teacher. I sometimes think, maybe I could go back, but then I wouldn't be able to be on school board. So that's not something I'm pursuing right now, but I do have a lot of respect for teachers. I've worked in banking for about 23 years, and I have been a branch manager, so I know the challenges of managing people. Nothing even close to the scale of what Dr. Harder deals with each day, or any of our building principals, but I do understand how important it is. I'm a bank trainer now, and so I work with training adults, and it's obvious, the kind of education that they had when they come to me and how impactful that education was on their overall development as an adult. What else? I don't know. I can't think of anything else, Chuck.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm a mom.
Yeah.
School matters to me, right? Moms balance a lot of stuff. Dads balance a lot of stuff. Sometimes I don't know if I'm coming or going. But yeah, I do it for my kids and everybody's kids.
Outstanding. Leslie, thank you. All right, Grant, your work-life experience that serves you well as you continue your run for re-election.
Well, I am a retired employee from Wolf Creek Nuclear Operating Corporation, and with spending over 30 years there, much of that time was in corporate development, human resources, and doing management employee training. So even though I wasn't in a classroom like in a public school setting, it was continuous adult learning, and so that was a lot of my time in the workplace. I am now doing what I call my retirement job as a loan officer with Emporia State Federal Credit Union, and I think there's an education portion of that with my job is financial literacy, trying to make the right decisions, and especially getting young people started and going in the right direction is very important. Years ago, I was a member of the Village PTO, and then later was a chairman of strategic planning for the school district, and then subsequently was elected to the Board of Education. I think with that knowledge, it gives me a good background on a lot of things that are going on, but every day there's some new challenges, and that's all to be expected, but I think we learn and grow from that. Some things we can learn from the past, but obviously sometimes things that we've done in the past are not apropos to going forward. So, but I think all that experience, whether in the workplace, helping and developing, educating employees, and then being involved within the school district, also in the community. I've served many years on the Flint Hills Technical College Board of Trustees. I've also been on the Emporia Child Care Board and various other volunteer situations like that. So hopefully that helps me stay in tune with what the community's doing and hopefully be more aware of the various needs that we have and challenges and help deal with those in a better way.
Okay. It's 10:21 on KVUE. As our candidate forum continues, we're with USD 253 school board candidates Grant Riles, Jeremy Dorsey, and Leslie Seeley. This is our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk about challenges facing the district and also academic achievement matters as we continue here this morning. It's 10:22 on KVUE and KVUE.com as candidate forum continues.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa Cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
KVUE News Time 10:24, which is, again, continuing our USD 253 candidate forum with Leslie Seeley, Grant Riles, and Jeremy Dorsey joining us. We'll be opening things up here to the phone and also the text line for your questions here in just a little bit. One of the basic questions when we do a candidate forum is biggest challenges facing whoever, and in this case, USD 253. And Grant, I'll start with you here and then get your perspective. Biggest challenges facing the district at this time?
Well, I'd say, first of all, academic achievement. That should always be the forefront of everything we do. That's been made a little more complicated in the last few years with the pandemic, where there's been some dips in achievement, not just in our district, all across the nation. So, but we're making progress and we're working on that. But none of us had ever lived through a pandemic situation like that, and obviously it affected our life in many, many ways, including in the schools. Staff retention is another major factor. getting and maintaining good staff, keeping positions filled with quality individuals is a challenge. You just can go up and down the streets, and you know it's part of our economy up and down every street where there's people advertising for employees. Likewise for the district. We have made some major efforts and raised the starting wage for our jobs like paras, teachers' aides, cooks and so forth at $15. We got to be somewhat competitive, but is that enough? And obviously, in many cases, we'd like to do a lot more, but we only have so much funds to do that. Also looking at our employees, one of our major concerns is insurance and insurance premiums. Premiums are rising all across for every business that I am aware of, likewise for our individuals, and especially if our employees are some of the ones that are not what we call classified, not the certified, where their wages may not be as high. Being able to pay those premiums, what isn't covered by the school district, is a major challenge, and we're very concerned about that and trying our best to see how we can continue to improve that situation. So to me, those are some things that are on our radar, and we continue to focus on those.
Okay. Jeremy, from your perspective, what are the biggest challenges facing the district here at this time?
You know, I would not be surprised if all three of us said exactly what Grant said and in precisely that same order, because that's literally the order I wrote down. Student achievement, making sure that our students have the resources and tools they need to be able to reach academic success. You know, it's one thing to set the floor and say we want to have at minimum everyone at this point, but I don't want our students to just meet minimum standards. I want them to reach for the ceiling, even if they're not going to touch it. I want them to achieve the most success that they can academically. And as Grant said, you know, we have had learning loss. It's part of why I was in support of pulling back the remote learning, quarantining, virtual schedule a little bit sooner than some of my colleagues were. And so we've been building back from that. Staff teaching and recruitment, for everything Grant said, that is going to be a huge issue. You know, we are blessed in many ways to have Emporia State University here because you have kind of a pipeline of baby teachers, right, who can get their first job for USD 253. The downside with that is that sometimes I think those folks are sometimes, after you've worked a couple of years at your first job, they're ready to kind of move on, branch out somewhere else, they have experience, and you're in a position where, you know, Johnson County and Lawrence will pay their staff a lot more than we probably pay ours. And so in order to maintain and catch those staff, especially young staff, we have to make sure we're paying them a living wage. You know, we're compensating them appropriately. And that also leads into their benefits. As we talked about health insurance, it's gone up 7% nationally. I think the Kaiser Family Foundation put out a report about that, that their estimate was that health insurance premiums nationwide have gone up 7% nationally. For our school district, we had really some issues with our insurance broker who was negotiating our insurance premiums. We were quoted from them a fairly high increase, but a lower increase, substantially lower than what we actually got quoted when it was time to get the plans and renewed from Blue Cross Blue Shield. And we really had to go to the mat without the broker, but instead with just our staff talking to Blue Cross Blue Shield to get that back to something that was not, I think it was like 30-something percent. It was absolutely catastrophic increase. And we whittled that back down to about where it was now, which I want to say was a 17-18% increase, which I don't think is acceptable, but that was at least within the projection of the year prior. So at least that was what we had told staff was likely to happen. But as Grant said, when you're a paraeducator, how do you really afford that when you're making, you know, a fairly low wage an hour? It's not so terrible for the teachers. It's really not hard and that bad if you're a single person, but if you're insuring your spouse or your kids, right, that starts to eat your paycheck alive. So I am 1,000% in support of the school district taking some more concerted action to pay more money that we contribute on the insurance premium. Because at the end of the day, we're not going to be able to control national and global market trends with respect to health insurance premiums. But we can contribute more on the base premium that we pay for our staff. Now, that's not as easy as just having a meeting, carving off X amount of money, and then sending it over to the insurance premium. I think you actually have to reopen negotiations with the teachers union, I believe. And so it's got more hoops to jump in through than that. So whether we do that sooner or when we have our next round of negotiations, you know, I'm fully advocating that the district budget itself appropriately and find money to pay and compensate our staff so that the health insurance, which is a basic necessity in life for you, your family, and your kids, isn't eating their paycheck alive.
Okay. Leslie, you were nodding through both of those answers. I'm just going to formally ask you what you see as the biggest challenges facing the district.
I thought about just saying ditto or samesies. But yes, I mean, everything they just said, academic success, achievement. Of course, we want to see our kids be as successful as possible and do everything we can to help them. I really think that our purchase of our new math curriculum and our English language arts curriculum is helping. We saw the numbers last week. Is it as much progress as we'd like to make? Of course not. But we're working on it. And we just have so much room for improvement. And I think especially with the Capturing Kids Hearts initiative district wide this year, that has touched so many people's lives, and they're feeling, you know, reinvigorated and excited and so happy to make those connections to make students successful, not just academically, but in life, and to feel like they're a part of something. Teacher retention, staff retention. I was getting my morning Starbucks, and Panda Express has a sign right now that says starting wage 15 to 16 an hour. So if you can make that much at Panda, and they're a national corporation, they probably have some pretty good benefits. What would make you want to work for us for the same wage? And we have to figure out a way to make working for our school district attractive for all levels, classified and certified. And yes, we've done our wage increases, and I've pushed for that for so long, and I'm so happy we've got there, but we have so much room to grow. Insurance, like Jeremy and Grant both said, if you're making $15 an hour, how are you going to pay for a family plan? My family plan's outrageous, and I feel like I make a pretty darn good wage, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm lucky. I've been in the same place for 20 years. Not everyone has that. And we have to figure out a way to make insurance affordable. It's not our fault insurance is going up, but we have to do what we can to make it better for our people. I think a big thing that we did with our childcare classrooms, we know that childcare is a hot commodity in our area, and having that for our teachers and staff, I think is just amazing. We've heard some good things, you know, about people who get to pop in on their planning time or whatever, and they get to see their kid. How great. I would have loved to be able to see my kids during the day while I was working. And now I've lost track. I covered it. Insurance, staff yep. retention, and academic success. We're all on the same page. It's a group effort, right? We're all on this together, just like High School Musical.
There you go. Okay, now I'm going to quickly get into academic achievement. And like Leslie mentioned, there were some positive trends that were part of last board meeting here talking about academic achievement. And Leslie, you get the chance to answer this question first, though. It's how can the district continue improving academic achievement without the dreaded phrase teaching to the test?
Yep. I will just flat out say I am not a fan of standardized testing. I'm a really great test taker. My kids are not. I've seen them struggle. I have seen their self-worth be defined by a standardized test. And people who know my kids know how smart they are and how competent they are and how much they can achieve that the test doesn't indicate. And so I hate that is the driving force behind education. I get it. There has to be something measurable, right? And how can you measure it if not through academic success? So I understand the need for tests like that. And but yeah, we don't want to teach the test. We want well-rounded individuals who can contribute to society and who feel good about themselves. So we have to do what we can. I think our teachers do a really great job of coming up with creative lesson plans and doing things that are fun, especially through project-based learning, to make it so that you are learning the things that you need for those tests, but you're enjoying it on the way. And so I think that that we do a good job. We can always be better. And I think that our teaching and learning department works closely with our teachers and our staff, and they just do everything they can to keep moving forward.
Okay. Grant, how about you? How can the district continue the improvement process without that specific, basically, here's what you're going to have on the test. Get that and you'll be fine.
It's a double-edged sword. We've got the standard test. There's, you know, we have state standards that we are held accountable for. But yet, as Leslie shared, I think our staff does a good job of making sure that's not all. I think meeting and helping children with their social emotional needs, meeting their basic needs, whether it's through meals, relationships, or whatever the case might be, all that is important. We know there's more than just the basic subjects of reading and writing and arithmetic type thing. It's a different age than where each of us grew up and went through school today. So I think it's important that we try to give our children a well-rounded education. And I think a lot of things that aren't measured or we can't see taking place in the classroom, but through how the teaching is done and the relationships that are built does help give a better and more rounded education for our children. So those are good efforts, and we will continue them. Some of them are very tough to measure, but they're mm-hmm. taking place, and we're doing and working to continue to improve on that area.
Okay. Jeremy, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the question was how we can continue to improve academically without just teaching to a test, right? And so that you're actually giving people, complex learning that they're digesting and actually taking and articulating beyond just being able to pass a metric. You know, I think one of the ways you do that is really, we've done some of this already, actually. Let me back up a little bit. I think we need to identify the soft spots in our curriculum and our resources. We did that with math in particular. Because there was a lack of consistency in the different curriculum and resources being used when students were flowing from schools, from middle school to high school. And so part of the idea was that we should make that uniform so that staff are all working from the same sheet of music and the students aren't dealing with an entirely new curriculum and process when they change a grade, right? Keep it the same so there's less change and it flows together. And so that was one thing we did to fix what I would call a soft spot in our curriculum. And that has had positive effect because, as we've talked about here, we had academic reports at the last board meeting that the trends with respect to math have gone up. And so, I mean, that kind of vindicates our investment in that new curriculum resource. And overcoming some of the resistance that naturally happens when you're told you have to teach from a new program or
any
new curriculum.
Change, yeah.
Yeah, you should see what happens when lawyers are told they have to use a new case management software. You may as well have just ended our week. But, you know, that is probably the most meaningful way I think that the school board can use dollars to effectuate academic achievement and change is identify the soft spots in your curriculum and update them. I think next we're looking at science to see if our science curriculum needs to have maybe the same sort of overhaul. Some of the issues we've heard with it aren't as deep as I think we had with the math, so it may be that that's okay, but I think we need to look with our teaching and learning staff one at a time at each curriculum, identify what's underperforming, identify those soft or weak spots, and then do what we can as a board and put our dollars, towards student achievement.
Okay. It's 10:38 here on KVUE. Jeremy Dorsey, Grant Rouse, Leslie Seeley, all incumbents for USD 253, all running for re-election. We'll take our second break here on the program, and we will open it up. So if you have questions, you can call 620-342-5863, or you can text us, 620-342-5863. Regardless, we've got more questions coming at 10:38 on KVUE and KVUE.com.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporian Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa Cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Thank you for asking.
1040 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Candidate Forum, 14 KVUE, 96.9 FM Emporia, KVUE.com here today. USD 253 candidates, Jeremy Dorsey, Leslie Seeley, Grant Riles joining us here today. And again, we have opened things up here, so if you have a question for our panel, call 620-342-5863 or shoot us a text to the same number, 620-342-5863. Grant brought this up, so it's in the rotation of questions. It's kind of makes sense that he's going to start our conversation here about recruitment and retention. Is the district doing all that it can? And if not, maybe where are some areas that you see that the district might be able to tap to enhance that and augment that?
I think it's important. You know, we want a quality staff, and it's important that we continue to work on that. Having competitive wage, having best benefits available are important. We continue to look at what other districts are doing, and we are competitive with districts in our area and like-sized districts in the state. Other way, you know, always looking at how can we recruit, whether it's through career fairs, or in this day and age, a lot of those are being held virtually. One of the things I find pretty exciting is that at the high school, we have a lot of career pathways, and one of those has to do with teaching and education. And I think there's nothing better than trying to grow your own. It's when you look at some of our staff in the high school, those were our students just a few years ago, and they're homegrown, they know our community, and it's good to keep them here. The less that we can have migrate to somewhere else, the city, larger cities or wherever that might be, the more we can keep them here, the better I think it is for our district, and they're vested in our district. So if that's a portion of our staff that we can work on, that I think that's helpful to do it that way.
Okay. Let's see here. Jeremy, what's your thoughts here on recruitment retention? Is the district doing what it can, and are there areas that maybe it can step up?
So there's some national trends that are kind of pushing against us, which is that staffing has basically been an issue everywhere for education. And I don't know what caused that, if it was just the pandemic and people said teachers were getting a lot of flack and so less students went in to become teachers, or if that's like a dip, it's going to correct itself at some point. Not certain. I just know that it's out there and it is something that we have felt. Part of the ways that we can capture staff, and I don't mean that in like a sort of arduous sense, passage, but in terms of, you know, getting staff to join you and getting them to stick around. Some of the issues that will happen that you'll see with young people who become teachers is that they start, let's say, in Emporia, and their salaries, you know, 40, 42K a year, 43K a year. I'm just making up numbers at that point. Let's say it's somewhere around there. Well, they get 5 years of experience, and then they can go work, like I alluded to earlier, in Johnson County, Lawrence, or for another school district, maybe in Wichita, and now they're making 50K or something. So there has been some study about how you need to pay your young staff when they're coming out, not the least amount that you can afford to, but pay them something that's decent enough to make them stick around. Otherwise, they're going to use you to get experience and then move on from their life and then go somewhere else. And it's, you know, just economics, right? It's capitalism. I have experience, I can go somewhere else, and they pay more. And we're so close, centrally located to Topeka, Wichita, Kansas City, the Lawrence area, that, you know, it gives a lot of mobility for somebody who's a new teacher that's got 3 or 4 years of experience with us. One of the downsides to that, though, is that when you start to make your wages high for younger teachers who just start out, sometimes that caps out the salary for older teachers. And then they end up investing, you know, a lot of time here, and then they're capped out and they actually can't increase their salary. So balancing those two can actually be kind of a struggle because one impacts the other. Something I've pushed for a long time on the board is obviously taking advantage of that pipeline we have with ESU and the teaching portion of the college there, and using that to our capabilities, but also making sure that we're not overly reliant on just ESU and that we're reaching out to different smaller colleges, different communities that might capture the type of graduates who grew up in a community not dissimilar in size and, you know, accommodations like Emporia, right? There's actually a lot to sell for Emporia. It's close enough to go to Topeka, Wichita, Kansas City, Lawrence, and come back the same day. Mm-hmm. It's a nice community. I mean, it's got a lot to sell there, but I think we have to cast a wide net. And then also we have to make sure we're offering competitive benefits, and the insurance is a big issue. When you're making $43,000 a year and you've got two kids and your insurance is now eating your paycheck alive, I mean, you may look at Johnson County or Lawrence. You're going to make more money there and have more left in your pocket. And so there is a bottom line there, and the benefits affect that.
Okay. Leslie, what's your thoughts as far as what the district's doing to recruit and retain and maybe some other avenues that haven't been fully tapped yet?
Sure. I really think we do have to be creative, outside-the-box thinkers for recruiting and retaining. We have to listen, and we have to take the feedback that we get and actually do something with it, not just put it in a box somewhere and say, oh, yeah, we got this. What should we do about that? So we have to follow through on those kinds of things. We have a climate survey out right now. I'll be interested to see how that goes. Unfortunately, it came out around the same time as open enrollment for insurance. So darned if we do, darned if we don't, it feels like sometimes. We added our childcare classrooms. That was a big plus for us. Like Jeremy said, you know, we can't just focus on ESU, and I don't think that we are. But I do know that as a nation, there is a teacher shortage, and a lot of times teachers feel unappreciated, underpaid, and that's not just in Emporia. And I remember reading a story earlier this year, I think about a public university in Oklahoma that no longer even has a teacher's college because they had so few students enrolled. And that's horrible. Like, I just can't even fathom, because someone has to teach. What are we going to do? What are we going to do if we don't have teachers? We have to make it a priority to make them feel valued and make them feel appreciated and want to be part of our district. I have a friend who's been at Village for quite some time, and I think about 11 years. And she said, you know, when I graduated from ESU, Emporia was the destination district. This is where people wanted to teach as soon as they got out of college. And I don't think that's where we are right now, but I know we can be there again. We're trying. We're doing everything we can. And I do feel like that we can get there. I think it's also really important for the board to have a good relationship with the teachers union, with ENEA specifically here in Emporia, and so that our IBB, our interest-based bargaining negotiations, go smoothly, that we have open dialogue and conversation, that we can really talk about what matters to the success of our kids and to making people want to stay and teach in Emporia.
Okay. We'll have one more question from our list. And again, questions welcome right now, although the time's getting really short to get your questions into us here at 342-5863. This one has to do with childcare, which has been mentioned a couple of times as one of the benefits here for the district. excuse me. Jeremy, is the childcare program doing a good job at this point in time from your chair? And aside from adding people, how can this expand to maybe meet additional needs?
Well, it absolutely is doing a great job. You know, I'll kind of step back from let me just say that from my understanding, the childcare rooms themselves are full. I don't know if there's an extensive waiting list, but the need and the interest was there, and people got right into it when they could. It still costs something from the family that utilizes it. And as Leslie said, it just makes that – it's what I call a quality of life improvement, right? When you're working in a building that has your kid in it and you get to go pick them up at the end of the day, deal with whatever their issues are during the day while you are seamlessly going back to work. That is a quality of life improvement and the type of perk that I think makes – a school district potentially a destination district, because not a lot of districts have something like that. I will also say that having a sister who, you know, she just like sort of exploded with children with her husband, and now she's got three little ones. You know, she told me what the cost of childcare was where she lives, and it's a high cost of living area in Virginia, Richmond area. But literally, it's like a whole paycheck. And I remember working legal aid for my clients, and when they would divorce or have to have child support orders entered, you get everyone's financial data. You create these things called domestic relation worksheets. It's giving me PTSD talking about family law. But you would put all that financial information down there and the cost of childcare each week. And for our community and the type of wages most people make here, I think a lot of the people in this room actually make a really decent wage, all things considered. I'm not trying to speak over for anyone else, but, you know, I've seen clients who literally have been in a position where I may as well just not work. Mm-hmm. because it costs so much. I'm paying for childcare. I could just be home with my kid instead and not be, you know, working to be poor and pay for childcare and then a paycheck that doesn't go anywhere other than childcare. So that has been a major quality of life improvement for our staff, and it has filled a need because a lot of those families were still going to struggle to find childcare in the community, which is a broader issue than just USD 253 staff. So to answer your question, it's going great. We did good on our staff by having that program. It is a success. I think the only way you realistically can improve it, though, is measure the need and desire, measure the wait list, and then start creating more classrooms and facilities as there's more kids who need to be placed and help our staff out. I don't think we have all that data there to lean forward into that yet, but the reality is, you know, if you don't have your kid in it, you're not benefiting by it. And if you don't have your kid in it, it's because there isn't a room and there isn't a staff. So it really is a question of money and staff and being able to expand that as long as there's a need for it. And we absolutely should, because it is a lifeline to families.
Leslie, what's your thoughts here on the child care program and then possibly expanding it?
Sure, nothing completely groundbreaking from anything Jeremy said. I mean, that's what you get when you have three of us who get along and have all been on the board for the last 4 years together.
Right.
I think that a very important thing for us is to make sure that we manage our budget in a way that we never aren't able to offer this, right? You never want to take away a benefit that you've created and given, because if we take it back, that's no fun for anyone. And all those people are going to be in a tight spot. I remember, I think it was the 2022-23 school year, right before school started, I think we had two or three teachers who could not teach that year because they couldn't find childcare for their infant. Infant childcare is such a hot commodity, and we have to have this. I'm so glad that we do. Of course, we'd like to see it expanded to all of our schools because we do have room in the buildings. Mm-hmm. But that means more staff, more money, and we have to make sure our budget can support that, because we're not going to break even. Like, we're probably going to lose money on this, but it's worth it to be able to provide this for people. We never intended it to be a money maker for our district. It's a benefit. And I'm just thankful that we made it a priority and that we're offering it.
See, this is why you have a banker on the school board.
Everyone knows I'm really not the numbers person.
Jeez. All right, Grant, before we take our final break.
I would agree with what's been said. I think it has been very successful. I believe it's in four schools right now. Hopefully we can expand it, especially where some of our elementary schools and so forth finish up their remodeling renovations, where there's even more room available. It is a great benefit. It's not there, as Leslie said, to make money, but hopefully we can balance that off with the benefits we do gain by having staff that are able to come to our district and be employed and have that use of that as a benefit. So it's gone well. A year ago, I think we all had questions like how successful it might be, especially in its first year, but we're very pleased with how it's turned out.
Okay. It's 10:53 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Again, this is Candidate Forum. USD 253 candidates, Grant Riles, Leslie Seeley, Jeremy Dorsey. Final break coming here as we wrap up Candidate Forum here on this Thursday morning.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa Cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia in Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
10:55 on KVUE and KVUE.com as we conclude our USD 253 candidate forum here again with Leslie Seeley, Grant Riles, Jeremy Dorsey in studio. Don't forget that Tuesday we'll have our final candidate forum. Again, that is at 10:06 in the morning, and that will involve Linda Forbes, Sam Tovar is going to be joining us, Christy Grant, and Art Gutierrez as well. We are at the point where it's time for closing statements here this morning, and basically the closing statement is the generic, why should voters choose you? And Leslie, we'll start with you.
Well, I think you should vote for me because I care. I think it's pretty obvious that I care. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Jeremy will sometimes look down at the table at me because I'm crying during a board meeting, and that's just me. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I love it when we get to hear from the kids and the teachers, and they tell us these inspirational things, and I just care. I want to be part of it. I love being a part of it and helping. I've tried really hard these last 4 years to be honest and fair and thoughtful and kind and to listen and to respond to emails and concerns that people have and really take to heart what they're telling me. I want kids to have a safe space, and I know that sometimes the only safe space they ever have is school, and so how that's so important for all of us to be a part of that. And I'd love to see us eventually offer free breakfast and lunch to all students. I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to see us get there, make our budget work in a way that we can do that. I care about teachers and their salary increases. I've enjoyed being part of interest-based bargaining and doing what I can there, adding the child care classrooms, $15 an hour minimum wage. These are all the things that I have pushed for and hoped for since I got on the board. I really had no idea what to expect. And as Jeremy mentioned, when we took office in January 2020, dun-dun-dun, we had no idea. We just had no idea what could happen in those 4 years. And I felt like we saw it all. I hope we saw it all. And then in our next 4 years, if we get the chance, it will be easy sailing, and we'll just get to really focus on the success and the retention and no crisis and keep moving forward and just doing the best we can to make this the best district in the state.
Okay. Leslie, thank you.
Thank
really
you very much. And I do want to tell you, thank you so much. My name is pronounced Leslie, and you've said it right all day long, not Leslie. And I just so appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. All right, Grant, your turn. Why should voters choose you next month?
Well, I do believe that quality education is the best investment we can make in a community. If we can set our children up for success in their future life, I think that's the thing that we owe to them. On the news, you hear a lot about federal and state issues. And, you know, once in a while I've read some articles that said what's really affects us the most are those things at the local level, like in our case, city commission, school board, and so forth. And I think it's important that our citizens continue to be involved, take a look at that, know who's leading them on those situations. So I think it's important that they look at who are the individuals that they can trust, who are leadership people that I want to vote for. So I would appreciate the opportunity to continue on the board and be involved with these kinds of things and try to do the best that I can do. So I would appreciate individuals' votes come November 7th.
Okay, Grant, thank you again. And Jeremy, your turn. Why should voters choose you?
Well, I'm asking for their vote because I am a dedicated public servant. I've basically worked in the nonprofit sector my entire adult life. That's where I want to work. I want to make meaningful change while the time I have here is available. During my time on the school board, I pride myself on being able to say that I listened to all sides and really listened to all facts and tried to be neutral and fair and hear everyone out and not close anyone out. There were some pretty contentious issues during the last 4 years, and I made a pretty pointed effort to seek out people who did not always agree with my vote or thought I should have voted a different way or didn't vote the right way for the right reason, but sit with them and hear them out and visit and listen to them, because we can't live on an island amongst ourselves full of confirmation bias, where the only people we talk to are ones we agree with. The best decision-making comes through consensus, and the best consensus is reached when you have different viewpoints and it's not just the same people. So I've always prided myself on being able to listen to everyone, be responsive to the community. Anyone can email me or call me anytime, and I'll try to help them as best I can or point them in the right direction. But during my time on the school board, I do feel like we made some stride and successes. You know, we invested in our curriculum. We've raised wages both for classified and non-classified staff. And we went to the mat for the health insurance so that we had the premium increase we have now and not a 30-something percent one. We had one employee who really went to the boxing ring for us, and she did a phenomenal job. And I'm going to be forever grateful for her and what she did for our families. But going forward, you know, as Leslie said, we all want to serve another 4 years on the school board without any fame or controversy, although when those things happen, they tend to happen whether you want them or not.
True.
But if I'm granted another opportunity to serve on the school board, I'm going to focus on what I focused on the first time, which is the number one issue, student achievement. If your student's going to our school system, they need to have the tools to be successful, the education to be successful, and when they're done with high school or the Flint Hills Learning Center or wherever they're at, they need to be ready for whatever comes next, whether they're entering the workforce, the military, a tech school, or the traditional four-year college route. You know, looking back, I had teachers in my life who I still remember to this day. Ms. Schmidt, the science teacher who canceled her hair appointment and stayed after school to give a test that students had to take. I remember Mrs. Turner and Mrs. Gledhill in the SPED offices basically holding my hand for all of my high school career so that I could get through math. And if it was not for those women, I've said this many times, I'd still be in Lansing High School trolling the halls trying to get past high school math. And, you know, those teachers made such a monumentous effect on my life, and it was positive. And I remember those women to this day. I'm 36 years old. And that makes me think that now on the school board, I have staff who are Mrs. Schwinn, Mrs. Turner, and Mrs. Gledhill. And I want to give them every support they can to be successful, because that will trickle down to the students so that they can be successful. And that's what I'm about. And so my name is Jeremy Dorsey. I ask for your vote, and I appreciate everyone's time being here, and please stay involved in your community no matter what.
Outstanding. Jeremy Dorsey, Grant Riles, Leslie Seeley, thank you for your time here this morning. Best of luck to all of you here as the general election comes up November 7th.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
That wraps up our candidate forum here this Thursday morning. Don't forget, next and final candidate forum Tuesday. USD 253 candidates joining us there as well. 1102 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
Today's candidate forum on KVOE has been brought to you by Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area. Contact Geotech for all of your land surveying needs. By ESB Financial, ESB's notify alerts, real-time alerts for online and mobile banking. Call 342-3454 or visit esbfinancial.com to learn more. By Ray Roofing Incorporated, call 342-7576 and let their roofing experts go to work for you. And by Justice Painting, call Jerem for a free quote today, 620-757-2343. For complete local election coverage, stay tuned to KVOE or log on to KVOE.com.